Welcome to the Fourth and Goal Fantasy Podcast with your hosts, Nick Sykes and Jimbo Donahue.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Fourth and Goal Fantasy Podcast. I'm going to be your host today, Jimbo Donahue. Nick, unfortunately, has some school today because he's trying to be a doctor and save some lives. And for me, I'm just here trying to save your season. So with that being said, for today's show, I'm going to be breaking down a lot of the games. Well, no, all the games that we saw yesterday. And in doing that, I'm going to go ahead and highlight some players that Nick and I, or player performances that Nick and I are buying into, and some performances that Nick and I are dropping off. And yes, they're going to be different. Now, with that being said, let's go ahead and dive into the first matchup, and that's going to be the Seahawks versus the Falcons. The Seahawks won 38-25. And let's just dive right into it. Okay, Seahawks, Mr. Russell Wilson, doing everything that he does right when it comes to playing football. 322 passing yards, 4 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, 29 rushing yards, which led the team. And there's not much more to say about Russell Wilson. Something that I will talk about is that you're happy with Chris Carson's performance in the passing game, considering that he had 6 receptions for 45 yards and 2 touchdowns, but his rushing numbers were a little underwhelming considering he only rushed the ball 6 times. But something I'm not worried about is Carson's involvement in this offense. He's clearly the number one back in the offense, and it's encouraging to see him being used in the passing game so much. DK Metcalf caught 4 of his 8 targets for 95 yards and a touchdown. You're obviously happy with that. And Tyler Lockett caught 8 of his targets, all 8 of them, and you're happy with that as well. And this is also Nick's My Guy that we talked about in our My Guy episode, and it is definitely proving to be that way. Old reliable Mr. Greg Olsen, the tight end for the Seahawks, managed to snag a touchdown, and that's encouraging to see because we know that Wilson loves his tight ends, and if he's starting to establish a connection with Olsen, this can definitely turn into a waiver option in the future if you need a tight end stream. For the Falcons, Matt Ryan, 450 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. That's obviously super exciting to see. However, a lot of those yards came during garbage time, so hopefully Matt Ryan can keep up that type of passing yards performance. Todd Gurley, this is someone I do like. He managed to accumulate a rushing touchdown, but the workload was on the lighter side, mainly because the Falcons were playing from behind a good portion of the game. Gurley did finish this day with 14 carries for 55 yards, which equates to about 4.0 yards per carry. This is something I'm happy about. I know people are worried about the durability of his knees, but if you have Gurley, then I'm riding him out as long as I can because he is going to get the touchdowns. Julio finished his monster game with catching 9 of his 12 targets for 157 yards. Calvin Ridley also had a monster game. He caught 9 of his 12 targets for 130 yards and 2 touchdowns. And for all of the day one Russell Gage truthers, your guy finished his day with 9 catches and 114 yards. Absolutely. Now, something I may not be buying into just yet is the Russell Gage receiving the 12 targets he did during this game on a regular basis. As I mentioned, the Falcons were down for the majority of this game, which meant they had to get things done primarily through the air. However, I do think it's something to keep an eye on. If you're in a fab league like me, then I'm definitely not ready to roll out the bank for Russell Gage, but I would definitely put maybe a $2 bid max, maybe a little more, if you need that depth at wide receiver. Moving on to the next matchup, it's going to be the Jets versus the Buffalo Bills. The score was 27-17. Bills were able to walk away with a win here. And for the Jets, not many things went right for this team, but we have to talk about them, unfortunately. Sam Darnold, with a measly 215 passing yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. If he's on your team, then I guess he's worth the stash at this point, but wow, that was brutal to watch. Le'Veon Bell is officially questionable with a hamstring injury, and his ability to play Week 2 against the 49ers is most definitely in question, which means Frank Gore, Frank the Tank, and Josh Adams will be taking the snaps for a while, and man, is this situation a freaking mess. We knew the situation was bad in New York heading into this game, but my God, I can't say enough bad things about this team. However, there is one positive thing we could talk about, and that's Mr. Jamison Crowder serving up your hot cup of chowder. Crowder finished the game catching 7 of his 13 targets for 115 yards and a touchdown, and this definitely is a situation I'm buying into. We loved Crowder all of last year because he was the primary target in this offense, and despite the struggles from Sam Darnold consistently, one thing that has remained certain is that Crowder's target share and the production on the field. I value Jamison Crowder highly, and I know Nick loves Crowder as well. This is definitely a player that's fourth and goal approved. For the Bills, moving on to the other side of the ball, Josh Allen finished the game leaving his fantasy owners very happy when he threw for 312 yards, two passing touchdowns, and just to add on, 14 carries for 57 yards and a touchdown, making him the leading rusher on the team along with the leading passer. I guess the positive you can take away if you're a Devin Singletary owner is that he saw 7 targets from Allen, which is huge for a running back, but if I'm being honest, this is a situation that scares me. I want no part of the Singletary timeshares because Zach Moss is not only there sharing snaps, but he's using the passing game as well, as we saw when he walked away with the receiving touchdown. Someone who also walked away with the receiving touchdown is Mr. Downtown John Brown. That's right. Along with the receiving touchdown, Brown caught 6 of his 10 targets for 70 yards, and this is the narrative that I'm buying into for this receiving core. Yes. Stephon Diggs did manage to haul in 8 of his 9 targets for 86 yards, and I really hope he stays consistent. But as Nick mentioned when he did a breakdown of this matchup, Diggs had a tendency to disappear throughout the season, so my chips aren't all in on Diggs just yet. It excites me that Brown walked away with the most targets on this team and a receiving touchdown. All right. Moving on to the next matchup, it is going to be the Bears versus the Lions. The Bears were able to walk away with the win here. The score was 27-23. And surprisingly, Mitchell Trubisky walked away with a favorable performance when he threw for 242 yards, 3 touchdowns, and rushed for 26 yards. But I will say, the Lions' passing defense is definitely on the bottom tier of life, which is why I can't buy into the Mitch's performance just yet. I need to see Trubisky find success against a formidable defense before I endorse any type of Mitchell Trubisky shares. Something else that was encouraging to see was that David Johnson carried the ball 13 times for 64 yards. Look, if you sneak a touchdown in there for Montgomery, then you're super happy as an owner because he managed to produce 4.9 yards per carry as well. Not sure if I'm on the Montgomery hype train just yet, but I will definitely be monitoring the situation. For the people who catch the ball for this team, Anthony Miller caught 4 of his 6 targets for 76 yards and a touchdown, and Allen Robinson caught 5 of his 9 targets for 74 yards. These are the two receiver options that I'm trusting throughout the season. We saw flashes of this type of success from Miller last year, and it looks like there's potential for it to continue, and same goes for Allen Robinson, obviously. Jimmy Graham caught a touchdown, but I lack the confidence to endorse him, so we're going to move on. For the Lions, we have a Jimbo, my guy, in Matt Stafford. However, I was not blown away by his performance, but not too disappointed either. Stafford finished the game throwing 297 yards and a touchdown, but also managed to throw an interception. If he leaves this game throwing one more touchdown, then I'm feeling definitely more confident in Stafford. But that being said, I'm not ready to say I have doubts yet either. Moving on to the Senior Living Center for the rushing game. That's right, Mr. Adrian Peterson showed no signs of slowing down in his vintage age when he ran the ball 14 times and accumulated 93 yards. If he's available in your league, you have to get him. And if you have Kerryon Johnson and Swift, then you wait. We can't jump ship on those guys just yet because of one performance from an old man. For the receivers, Mr. Quintez Cephas, don't know who that is, but he led the team in targets with 10, but Danny Amendola led the team in receiving yards with 81. Something that was cool to see was that TJ Hawkinson walked away with 56 receiving yards and a touchdown. And I'm almost ready to fully endorse Hawkinson, but I have to see what the situation is once Kenny Golladay comes back. Am I willing to place a bid on him now? Yes, I am. If you're a Kittle owner and Sunday's game scared you too much, then go ahead and place a bid on TJ if he's available, but not something that breaks your bank. Moving on to the next matchup, we have the Packers against the Vikings. The Packers were able to pull away with the win here, 43-34 against the Vikings. Now, before this season, I was ready to officially label Aaron Rodgers as, quote-unquote, not the player he once was. In previous episodes, Nick mentioned that he is someone that primarily focuses on completion percentage, but this game, however, was unlike anything we ever saw from Rodgers last season. He finished the game with 364 passing yards, 4 touchdowns, and 0 interceptions, earning him a QB rating of 93. On the ground, you were happy to see Aaron Jones carry the ball 16 times for 66 yards and walk away with a touchdown, and pretty much see A.J. Dillon be non-existent when he only rushed the ball 2 times for 14 yards. This performance should bring peace to Aaron Jones owners, especially since Jones also managed to receive 6 targets from Rodgers. As for the damage done through the air, Davante Adams overwhelmed us all when he turned his 17 targets to 14 receptions for 156 yards and 2 touchdowns. With that type of target share, Adams is matchup-proof, automatic start every single week without any doubts. MVS was also able to have a good game when he walked away with 96 receiving yards and a touchdown. And not to mention, the Lizard Man, Alan Lazard, also caught a touchdown for 60 yards. Now, in terms of this receiving situation in Green Bay, I need to see a little more production when it comes to MVS and Alan Lazard. I'm not ready to put all of my chips in on those two players yet, considering the target share that Davante Adams is receiving. Now, moving on to the Vikings. Kirk Cousins had an okay game, but definitely nothing worth bragging about when he threw for 259 yards and 2 touchdowns with 1 interception. He also rushed the ball 4 times for 34 yards, so that's actually exciting to see. On the ground, we saw that Dalvin Cook is still primarily the back in that backfield when he rushed the ball 12 times for 50 yards and 2 touchdowns. But Alexander Mattison is definitely not someone to sleep on. Mattison rushed the ball 6 times but accumulated 50 yards and produced a crazy 8.3 yards per carry and catching the ball 4 times for 30 yards. I doubt Mattison is available in your leagues, but if he is, then he needs to be on your team, because if Cook goes down, then Mattison becomes the workhorse in that offense, and he's definitely going to produce. Through the air for Minnesota, Adam Thielen got things done in a big way, catching 6 of his 8 targets for 110 yards and 2 touchdowns. He is also somebody I'm starting each week without any doubt, because he is the biggest threat in that offense. Now, this is an interesting game. Dolphins versus the Patriots. The Patriots were able to walk away with a win here. Not much to talk about for the Miami Dolphins, though. Fitzpatrick ran out of magic when he threw for only 191 yards and 3 interceptions, and the damage on the ground wasn't detrimental either. I had no idea who Myles Gaskin was heading into this game, but he led the team in carries with 9 for 40 yards, and he also caught the ball 3 times for 30 yards. This is another backfield that has become quite the mess. Heading into this game, I was expecting a Jordan Howard primary role with a Matt Breda third down / receiving role, but I had no idea where Jordan Howard went. I tried as hard as I could to find him, but he was nowhere to be found. He finished this game with 8 rushes for 7 yards and somehow walked away with a touchdown. Something we will have to keep you updated on throughout the week is the status of Devontae Parker. When he was healthy, he looked solid. However, the hamstring issue did come up again during the game, and he was unable to finish the game, leaving his stat line at 4 receptions for 47 yards on 4 targets. Preston Williams was underwhelming, considering he only caught 2 of his 7 targets for 40 yards, and that's pretty much all there is to report from Miami. Very depressing to watch if you're a fan. However, for the Patriots, Nick's my guy, Cam Newton, had a great game. I'm not sure if all the doubters are silenced just yet, but Newton definitely showed the world how he's going to be used in this offense when he threw the ball for 155 yards, 0 turnovers, but he also rushed the ball 15 times for 75 yards and 2 touchdowns. My final takeaway from this game is that the only Patriots player I'm happy owning at this point is Cam, considering how much he rushes the ball, because it's hard to start a receiver, anyone in this receiving corps, in this offense, when you're only throwing the ball 19 times a game. And we saw that with Julian Edelman only receiving 7 targets and James White only getting 3 targets. Unfortunately, the value of these players are slightly diminishing for me, considering how Cam is used in this offense. Next matchup, we have the Philadelphia Eagles versus the Washington football team. Yes, the team that plays football in Washington won this game. The score was 27-17. Wentz did manage to finish the game with 270 passing yards and 2 touchdowns, but man, this game was hard to watch, especially if you had stock in the Eagles. The combination of the O-line situation in Philadelphia and Miles Sanders not being able to play really had an effect in this offense. No damage was done on the ground. Boston Scott had a measly 35 yards, and Corey Clement had an overwhelming 19 rushing yards. That's not overwhelming, which meant that if there was anything done, it had to be done through the air. Dallas Goedert walks away being the MVP for this team, hauling in 8 of his 9 targets for 101 yards and a touchdown. But besides that, no overwhelming performances were committed through the air. Jalen Reagor had 1 reception for 55 yards. Deshaun had 2 receptions for 46. Ertz did manage to walk away with a touchdown, but he only had 3 receptions for 18 yards. Yeah, but it is promising to see that he only saw 7 targets, I guess. The Washington team that plays football in Washington. Lame was underwhelming when he, and by lame I mean Lame Haskins, was underwhelming when he threw for 178 yards and a touchdown, but at least he didn't turn the ball over. He also rushed the ball 7 times, but unfortunately for 17 yards. The biggest highlight came from Peyton Barber, I guess, who had 2 rushing touchdowns and 17 carries, but he can only produce 29 yards on those 17 carries, which equates to 1.7 yards a carry. So I don't know how I feel about that. Running back situation is scarce, then maybe go get him. But my only worry is that if you take away those touchdowns, that's an incredibly terrible and efficient game. Through the air, we saw the 4th and goal approved Terry McLaurin catch 5 of his 7 targets for 61 yards, which is, yes, underwhelming, but still promising considering that he's receiving the bulk of the targets from Lame and he's still getting the yards. Steven Sims was 3 for 3. And walked away with 15 yards. And Logan Thomas, I actually had no idea who this was, walked away with a touchdown and saw 8 targets, but only caught 4 of them for 37 yards. Nothing there to highlight for me. Moving on to the Las Vegas Raiders versus the Carolina Panthers. The Raiders were able to walk away with the win here. 34-30 was the score. Thank God this team has Josh Jacobs, is all I have to say. Derek Carr threw for 239 yards and had a TD with 0 interceptions. Nothing to write home about, but it could be something to build on. On the ground, it was the Josh Jacobs show when he rushed the ball 25 times for 93 yards and collected 3 touchdowns and caught 4 of his 6 targets through the air for 46 yards. The performance was quite dominating and overwhelming for the Panthers defense, and this should be a strong indication that the Panthers run defense is still extremely susceptible and should prove to be a favorable matchup for the opposing backs in the future. Now, for the Vegas receivers, it was scary to see Ruggs sustain some kind of knee injury. However, he did come back in the second quarter, I believe. He finished the game with 3 receptions for 55 yards. The Walrus did see 8 targets, but he can only come up with 45 yards on 6 receptions, which is still nothing to worry about in my opinion, for a tight end. Nelson Agholor did receive a touchdown, but it was only on 1 target. Please don't spend any fab money. Please don't use a waiver claim on Nelson Agholor. Please. He only saw 1 target all game. On the other side of the ball, Christian McCaffrey did Christian McCaffrey things. Rushed the ball 23 times, 96 rushing yards, and 2 rushing touchdowns, and also tacked on 3 receptions for 38 yards. Teddy Bridgewater, this is actually really promising in my opinion. Walked away with 270 passing yards, 1 passing touchdown, and 0 interceptions. And the reason why this is so promising, in my opinion, is because he threw the ball 34 times. I think there's a lot of production to be had. I think there's more production that will come from Teddy when you're passing the ball that many times. Robbie Anderson was everyone's favorite receiver this week and might be everyone's favorite receiver on Wednesday. He saw 8 targets, was able to catch 6 of them for 115 yards and a touchdown. Expect him to be a hot commodity this week, as I just said, for everyone who needs receiver depth. Now, are you disappointed with DJ Moore's performance? Yes, maybe you are, but the positive is that he did see 9 targets, and he still walked away with 54 yards. If you throw a touchdown in there, then you're more than happy. Another solid performance that I am not too sad about is that Curtis Samuel saw 8 targets. Yes, he did only walk away with 38 yards, but I'm a person that believes if you're receiving the targets, then the production will come. Moving on to the next matchup, we have the Colts versus the Jags. The score was 27-20, and unfortunately, Marlon Mack will be out for the season with an Achilles injury, but fortunately for the Jonathan Taylor owners, he has now been officially listed as the starter. For this game, Jonathan Taylor saw 6 targets and caught all 6 for 67 yards. I absolutely expect him to have a similar season as Austin Eckler did last year, considering that Rivers loves his pass-catching running backs. Jonathan Taylor might actually have just turned into an RB1 overnight with this Marlon Mack injury. But something we can't ignore is Nyheim Hines. He finished the game with 7 carries, only 28 yards, and a touchdown, but he did have 8 receptions on 8 targets and a receiving touchdown. So it'll be interesting to see how this Colt offense works both of their pass-catching backs, but I personally think Taylor is more talented than Hines, and now that Taylor has been listed as a starter, I expect him to get more opportunity on the ground as well. Nothing too crazy happened from the Colts receivers. Paris Campbell led the team in targets, and he turned that into 71 yards. I think that's solid in my opinion. And T.Y. saw 9 targets, but only walked away from 53 yards. You should obviously hold on to them and wait and see what happens with that type of target share. Moving on to the Jags, America's favorite quarterback, Gardner Minshew, had a promising game considering he threw 3 touchdowns, but did underperform in the yardage category, but the Jags only threw the ball 20 times, and Minshew had 19 completions, so that is really, really promising to see. On the ground, James Robinson was the only running back to receive any carries for the Jags and accumulated 16 of those carries for 62 yards. Very promising if he had a touchdown. In the air, you're happy that DJ Chark got a touchdown considering he only saw 3 targets in this game. And Laviska Shenault Jr. also saw a touchdown along with Keelan Cole, but I'm not necessarily too excited to run and get those other 2 receivers. We hope to see Chark getting more of a receiver workload moving forward, but other than that, that's all I have for this matchup. Now, the dreaded matchup I don't want to talk about. It is the Ravens versus the Browns. If you didn't watch the game, then you already probably heard the score. 38-6. The Ravens won, obviously. Now, Baker must not have gotten the mention that he was my guy, because he absolutely sucked. He finished off the game with 189 yards and only 1 touchdown with 1 interception, which scares me. And the reason why it scares me so much is because he could only complete 20 of his 40 passing attempts. I'm hitting the panic button already. I know it's premature, but my God, that type of performance is depressing to watch. Odell was another my guy in this game, and he was a guy that was completely disappeared. He saw 10 targets, but can only come up with 3 catches for 22 yards. Jarvis caught 6 of his 5 targets for 61 yards, and I guess he is the only receiver you can count on in this offense. I have no idea what to say about this team, because even the positive things that happened, David Njoku caught a touchdown, even the positive things go wrong, because as soon as he did that, he went on the injured list with a sprained MCL. Things are looking like a load of crap in Cleveland, and I'm ready to be scared. Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt were neck and neck in terms of opportunity. Chubb saw 10 carries for 60 yards, and Hunt saw 13 carries for 72 yards. So now that needs to be mentioned or monitored as well, that type of situation. Honestly, moving forward, I'm not ready to jump ship on Nick Chubb, but the only player I can count on heading forward is Jarvis Landry. Now, Nick is also super worried about Odell, because that type of performance, when you only catch 3 of your 10 targets, that's absolutely concerning. For the Ravens, there's not too much to say here. Lamar had another fantastic game, and Marquise Brown had a great game as well, catching 5 of his 6 targets for 101 yards. And Mark Andrews, of course, showing people why he's one of the top tight ends in the league, catching 2 touchdowns and hauling in 58 receiving yards. But something that has become extremely hard to decipher is the running back situation in Baltimore. Yes, Mark Ingram did receive the bulk of the carries, but that didn't mean anything to me, considering he only produced 29 yards on 10 of those carries. I guess you could be excited if you're a Dobbins fan, since they gave him the goal line carries, but he still only rushed the ball 7 times. That's another situation where I just have no idea who to choose to be the lead back, because they have too many mouths to feed. But like I said, it was promising that Dobbins did walk away with 2 rushing touchdowns. All right, moving on to the Chargers and the Bengals. If you watched this game, then you probably took a nap. The Chargers won 16-13. Tyrod Taylor was able to produce an underwhelming 208 passing yards, 0 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Austin Eckler did have 19 carries for 84 yards, but he only had 1 reception. Now, Nick did text me saying that this is someone that he's worried about, but I'm not necessarily sure if I feel the same way, considering the fact that today head coach Anthony Lynn came out and stated that it's a priority to get Eckler more touches. But this is someone that Nick is also high on, and I absolutely understand why, is Joshua Kelly. He finished the game. This is another running back for the Chargers. I had no idea who he was, and I thought Justin Jackson was the backup to Eckler, but it turns out Kelly is. He had 12 carries, 60 yards, and a touchdown, a performance that Nick is buying into, and it's just quite, honestly, it just can't be ignored. For the passing game, Hunter Henry saw 8 targets and turned that into 73 yards. Mike Williams, I had no idea he was healthy enough to be playing in this game, but it turns out he was. Saw 9 targets and 69 yards. He might be someone that we are talking about for the waiver show. Keenan Allen did have an underwhelming 37 yards, but he also saw 9 targets. It's very, very promising to see that Tyrod was able to give all of the receiving weapons enough targets for them to perform. For Cincinnati, Joe Burrow, for his first official NFL start, had 193 passing yards on 36 passing attempts with 0 touchdowns and 1 interception. Something cool to see was that he did rush the ball 18 times for 45 yards and did have a rushing touchdown. Mixon, however, was underwhelming a little bit, but he did have 19 carries for 70 yards. That's something that I'm not worried about. It's not something you should be worried about. Yes, it was underwhelming, but if you throw a touchdown in there, then that is a phenomenal game. AJ Green, the man that's made of glass, saw 9 targets, led the team in targets, turned those into 5 receptions for 51 yards. However, not only did he lead the team in targets, he also led the team in yards, because CJ Uzuma only was able to turn his 4 receptions into 45 yards. And something that I actually am worried about is Tyler Boyd. This game meant a lot to me because last year Tyler Boyd was averaging almost 7 or 8 targets a game, with sprinkled in games where he saw double-digit targets. However, this game he only saw 5. He was able to catch 4 of them, but he only walked away with 33 yards. This is something I am worried about. Moving on to the fun game. A tale that's old as time, as Nick would say. That's right. The New Orleans Saints versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Saints were able to walk away with the win here. The score was 34-23. Tom Brady, his first game in a Bucs uniform. 239 yards, 2 passing touchdowns, and 1 rushing touchdown. He did have 2 interceptions, but honestly, I'm happy with that type of performance. Ronald Jones, yes, the leading running back. 17 carries, 66 yards. No, I'm not buying into Jones being the starter. Fournette will eventually get there, in my opinion. I think Fournette is infinitely more talented, and I think Fournette just needs more time with the playbook. I think Ronald Jones will absolutely be faded out as the starter. Moving on to the receivers for Tampa, Chris Godwin saw 7 targets, turned 6 of those into 79 yards. That's very good. If he gets a touchdown, then you're more than happy. Scotty Miller, didn't know who that was. Had 73 yards. He saw 6 targets, but I think once Mike Evans becomes completely healthy, I think Scotty Miller will become almost irrelevant. It was cool to see that O.J. Howard came away with a touchdown on 6 targets for 36 yards, but something that is definitely worrisome to see is that Gronk only had 3 targets. For New Orleans, Breeze, with that type of score, 34 points, you would think that Breeze went off. Well, he did, kind of. He had 160 passing yards on 30 passing attempts, and he did have 2 passing touchdowns. Latavius Murray for the running backs led the way in carries with 15 on 48 yards. Alvin Kamara had 12 carries for 16 yards and a touchdown, but don't worry, he did his damage through the air because he had 5 receptions for 51 yards and a touchdown. Not to mention, he also saw 8 targets through the air. Jared Cook was the team leader in yards when he saw 7 targets and had 5 receptions for 80 yards. Emmanuel Sanders had a touchdown, but I'm not necessarily ready to pull the trigger on him just yet. And something that was very, very, very tough to see was Mr. Michael Thomas only seeing 5 targets, only able to turn that into 3 receptions for 17 yards. I'm just going to go ahead and chalk this up to a bad game. Because the type of player Michael Thomas was last year and the type of player that you drafted him as, this is absolutely one of the biggest outlier performances I have ever seen. So I think you have to start him again. You keep starting him again. There's no question. Just an off game. All right, 2 games left, folks. Don't worry. Stick with me here. We have the Arizona Cardinals against the San Francisco 49ers. That's right, mine and Nick's team. And it was a tough game for us. The Arizona Cardinals were able to walk away with a win. The score was 24-20. And Kyler Murray had a phenomenal game. You just have to tip your cap to him. He had 233 passing yards with a passing touchdown. He did have an interception, but that doesn't really matter at all considering that he had 13 carries for 91 yards and a touchdown. He was so hard to tackle. He scrambles like Russell Wilson. He creates plays like no other, and I think he's going to be one of the best quarterbacks this year. Kenyon Drake had 16 carries, 60 yards, and a touchdown. That's definitely promising to see. And DeAndre Hopkins, definitely one of the biggest narratives from this game, saw 16 targets, was able to turn that into 14 receptions and 151 yards. Did he walk away with a passing touchdown? Yes, but who cares? Hopkins became a beast during this game. Now, for the San Francisco 49ers, Jimmy did have a sustainable stat line when he threw for 259 yards and 2 touchdowns, but man, did he look uncomfortable. But the production that came from this team all came from Raheem Mostert. He had 15 carries for 56 yards, but he also had 4 receptions for 95 yards and a touchdown. Raheem was by far the MVP for this team because other than that, nobody could really get anything going. The Niners were going to Kittle early and often, but right before the half ended, Kittle hyperextended his knee on a high throw by Jimmy. But the good news is that he was able to come back in the game. But the bad news is that he never saw another target during the whole second half. So that was definitely a frustrating outing if you had Kittle on your team, aka me. Moving on to the last matchup that we have, it was the Rams against the Cowboys. The Rams were the ones who came away with the win here. The score was 20-17. Dak had 266 yards with a touchdown, slightly underwhelming. Zeke, however, was not underwhelming in any form of the word. He had 22 carries, 96 yards, and a touchdown. He also accumulated 3 receptions for 31 yards and a receiving touchdown. Zeke absolutely balled out. Something that was cool to see was that Cooper saw 14 targets. He had 10 receptions for 81 yards. Although CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup didn't see a big target share, I'm still happy that they walked away with 60 yards and 50 yards. But unfortunately for Blake Jarwin truthers, he sustained a non-contact injury on the field, which will possibly be a torn ACL. I think his season is done, and that is very, very sad because I know a lot of people were hyped on him, and it was just really, really tough to see on your TV screen. I wish him the best, obviously. For the Rams side of the football, Jared Goff threw the ball 31 times and accumulated 275 yards, but could not get a touchdown. Malcolm Brown, however, got 2 touchdowns on the ground and rushed for 80 yards and 18 carries. Not to mention, he also walked away with 3 receptions for 31 yards. This is a performance that Nick and I both are buying into. That's right, this is a player that is 4th and goal approved. Because if you were watching the game, you could see that when the team needed to rush the football, they gave it to Brown when they needed to most. For the Rams receivers, we have a Jimbo My Guy featured named Robert Woods, who absolutely stole the show, turning 8 targets into 105 yards on 6 receptions. And this is something I absolutely expect to see continue. I'm not buying into the poor performances from Higbee and Kupp, mainly because the Rams threw the ball less than they normally do. I absolutely expect them to bounce back as Jared Goff's primary targets. All right, folks, thanks a lot for sticking around. If you have stuck around this far, we are the 4th and Goal Fantasy Podcast. You can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Stick around for the next show. We will keep you informed. And don't forget, folks, we have 2 football games tonight. Going to be Steelers versus the Giants and the Tennessee Titans versus the Denver Broncos. Have fun. Enjoy your Monday, guys. See you next time.